Well, praise the Lord. We're going to continue with our theme on the second coming. And in particular, tonight, I want to speak on the Antichrist. And I would like to turn with you to Matthew 24. And I would like to pick up from where we were last night, Matthew 24, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you remember that we finished on the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and we emphasize what is going to happen, the great outpouring of his Spirit and the mighty army of God that will go throughout the world. And then I want you to look very carefully at verse 14. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then I want you to see this last little phrase, and then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. And so very clearly indeed, we are going to have the great revival, the army of God going throughout the world. And then comes the end. And then immediately in verse 15, he says this, when ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So we are going to look tonight into the book of Daniel, and we are going to see what Daniel says concerning this abomination of desolation. And we are going to see, and I trust you can all see that, this is the interpretation of a dream that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had. And Babylon is very interesting in that we are going to see in the New Testament that an image will be erected in the temple. And it was also interesting that Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 3 also made an image, and he commanded all kinds of music to sound forth at given times, and then people would bow down to this image. And the geometria of the first verse in Daniel 3:1 is 7 times 666. So it's interesting, you see, that the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, you know, are very well coordinated. Now then, we're going to come, and we must understand the book of Daniel. We must have a clear understanding of what that book is all about. And one of the things, you see, last night, I was appealing, especially for young girls, you know, to stay on the path. And, you know, we're going to have a mighty revival, and God will raise up teachers of righteousness, and many of them will be women. And I only not only want you to stay on the path, but I want you to develop into teachers of righteousness. And you know, in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6, which Dr. Karam quoted this morning, it says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the strength of thy times. And you know, girls, knowledge will strengthen you. and you fellows too. And I want you to understand the second coming. It is not difficult. It is not difficult. It is simple. But obviously you must know where to go in the Word of God to get enlightenment. Now then, the book of Daniel is where the Lord Jesus Christ directs us. And in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, we find the prophet is in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has a dream. He can't remember it. And so he gets all the wise men to come and tell him what he dreamt. And of course they cannot. And God was protecting the dream from all false speculations by this manner. And then, of course, Daniel asked the Lord for the what the dream was and the interpretation. Now, upon this dream and the interpretation hangs all prophecy concerning the last days. Now, here is the dream that he had. It was of an image. And the head was gold, the chest was silver, belly and thighs were brass, legs were iron, and the feet were feet of clay. Now, the interpretation that is given of this image is that the head of gold represents the Babylonian kingdom. That is followed by the Medes and Persians. That is followed by the Greeks, and then Rome, which is the legs of iron, and then the feet of iron and clay come out of the Roman Empire. And on the feet, we have 5 toes and 5 toes, 10 toes. Now, that is very important later on, as we shall see. So, there is the image, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And we are living in the last days, and so we understand perfectly that interpretation. Now then, in Daniel chapter 7, he has a revelation of beasts, beasts coming out of the earth. And the first one is like unto a lion with eagle's wings, and that is a symbol of Babylon. So we have Babylon likened to the head of gold, but also likened unto a lion with eagle's wings. Now, these are very important because they will help us identify the Antichrist. And God wants to reveal to his people who the Antichrist is, but at the same time obscure that truth from the world, because God wants the wicked to follow the Antichrist, but he wants his people to be preserved and understand it. So the next one is the leopard. That's very important. The leopard, and that is the belly of thighs and brass, and it is also the Greek Empire. And then we have the last of those shall I say, apparitions, and it's called the beast. The beast. And that beast has 10 horns. 10 horns. 10 toes, 10 horns. Very important indeed. Now I'm going to invite you to turn to Daniel chapter 7, please. So we're going to look at Daniel chapter 7. And as I've already mentioned, you know, these four beasts came up from the sea, and that is in verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. Now then, a very important truth is in verse 7, the fourth beast. You see, the fourth beast. And the last part of verse 7, it had 10 horns. 10 horns. And then I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them a little horn. So first of all, we have 10 horns. Then after these 10 horns comes a little horn. Very important. And then this little horn has a mouth, and now I'm reading from verse 8, has a mouth speaking great things. Now this little horn is the Antichrist. And then in verse 11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which this horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning fire. And concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their kingdom delivered. Now then, Daniel wants to have a further understanding of this fourth beast. And so he asks the Lord for it, and I'm just going to take one or two thoughts. But here in verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were in the head of this beast, and the other came up, and he slew 3 of them. And I beheld that, now I want you to look in verse 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. So the Antichrist will make war with the saints, and God will give him the power to overcome the saints. And then in verse 29, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. This is very important. 10 kings. You see the 10 toes? They're right at the end. The 10 toes are right at the end. The 10 horns are right at the end. And then this other little horn will arise after them, and he shall speak great things against the Most High, and he will change times, and we find that he will have preeminence for 3.5 years. All right. We'll keep repeating these truths so that they become clear. Now then, we come to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we have Persia and Greece, likened unto a ram and a he-goat. Well, we find in chapter 8 that the ram is Persia and the goat is Greece. And we're told that the goat prevails against the ram. In other words, Greece overcomes Persia, which we know from our history. And the goat has a large horn, see? And we are told who that horn is. He is the first king of Greece, who was Alexander the Great. And then that horn breaks into four, and we know that the kingdom of Alexander broke into four specific kingdoms, and predominantly the north kingdom was Syria, and the south kingdom was Egypt. Now then, that is, if I could say this, the basic message of Daniel. But there is something else that I want to say about Daniel, and that is in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, please. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. And this is speaking of the Antichrist again. And it says this: he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week, prophetically, is 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and then move in the abomination of desolation. Now then, I want to come now to Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24. And it's very simple. You know, very simple. You know, God wants to show us the things that are going to come to pass. And so in Matthew chapter 24, I want to look very carefully with you. And I want to look, first of all, at verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2, Jesus is coming out of the temple. His disciples are saying, look at these stones, these marvelous stones of the temple. Jesus said, you see them? Not one stone will be upon another. In other words, he prophesies the destruction of the temple of Herod, which took place in AD 70. But in verse 15, he is saying this: when ye therefore shall see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Well, he's declared that the temple will be destroyed, but now he's speaking of the holy place. And there's only one place that is holy in Israel, and that is the temple site. And he's speaking of a holy place, meaning that the temple has to be rebuilt. And for confirmation of that, I'd like to look with you in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And here the Apostle Paul is saying Jesus will not come until the Antichrist or the man of sin will be revealed. Now, I'd like you to look very carefully, please, at verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, so what the Apostle Paul is saying, that the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God. To sit in the temple of God, the temple has to be rebuilt. For further confirmation of that, we go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 11. And in Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle John is told to measure the temple. Well, this is not the temple in heaven. This is a temple on earth, because he says the Gentiles, you know, shall trample underfoot the holy city for 42 months. So we have very clearly, first of all, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, that the Jews will come back and they will indeed offer up animal sacrifices again. The Antichrist will permit them to do that. And also Jesus speaks of the holy place, and the Apostle Paul speaks of the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God, and John is told to measure it because he sees it in a vision. And so very clearly the temple has to be rebuilt in Jerusalem for these scriptures to be fulfilled, and every scripture will be fulfilled. So we now come to a very important point, and that is, what indeed is the abomination of desolation? Remembering, it's something that stands, or that which stands is an image. So I'd like to turn with you to Revelation chapter 13, please. Revelation chapter 13 is going to help us tremendously to understand exactly what the abomination of desolation is. Now, if you'd look at verse 14, please, of Revelation 13. And it's speaking of the false prophet here, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that they that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and he lived, and he gave to that image power. In verse 15, you know, that it would speak. Now then, that's the abomination of desolation. And Jesus said, when you see that, get out of Jerusalem. Now then, what happens afterwards? Well, let us go back to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord gives a sequence of events that must now take place, you see. And Matthew chapter 24, he then says in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation. So here we have the sequence of events. A mighty revival, and then comes the end. And at the end, the temple in Jerusalem must be rebuilt. They must go back to animal sacrifices. And then the Antichrist will make a covenant with them for 7 years and break it in the midst by placing the abomination in the temple, in the holy place, which will be an image made to himself. Now then, I just want to continue, then I'm coming back to the Antichrist. So the sequence of events, a mighty revival, then the Antichrist, and the image that maketh desolation, placed in the holy place, and the false prophet is going to cause everybody to worship that. And then Jesus said, as soon as you see that, get out of Jerusalem, Judea, because then comes the great tribulation. Great revival, Antichrist, great tribulation. And then verse 29 of Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give its light. And then in verse 30, you see, then shall the sign of the Son of Man come. And in other words, that will be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, it's the Antichrist I want to zero in on. Should we know who the Antichrist is? Well, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, many of you have children whom you love deeply. And if you send, for example, your child, say a little girl, and you send her up the road to the baker's shop and say, honey, here's some money. I want you to buy some bread for daddy and mummy. And you send her up the road. But then you give her a warning and say, look, between our house and the baker's shop, there's a house of a very wicked man. And you are going to describe that wicked man to your little girl so that she does not listen to him but continues right on. In other words, if there's danger to your children, you make it very clear to your children, you know, what the danger is. If it's a person, you describe them. Well, now, in the same way, God loves us. And, you know, you look very carefully in the Word of God. Well, it's clear in the book of Revelation, it's clear from what Jesus teaches, that the church is going through. So the church will be there in the time of the Antichrist. We've seen that from the book of Daniel. I just want to prove it again from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 13, please. Revelation chapter 13. And in the book of Revelation chapter 13, we find that also that in verse 7, look at it very carefully, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, my wife is in heaven. Now then, she is in heaven. Is the Antichrist going to have the ability to leave the earth and go up to heaven? No, he's a man. He won't be able to do that. So who is he fighting against? The saints on earth. The saints on earth. Book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. Clearly, he will make war with the saints and be permitted to overcome them. Therefore, the saints who are living will be upon earth when the Antichrist comes. You cannot make war between earth and heaven. He might like to, but he can't. You see, he's a man. So therefore, where are the saints? On the earth. And you see, you must look at these scriptures and contemplate the truth. Jesus said, get out. Well, come now. Who is to get out? Those that are on the earth. You see, great tribulation. All right, now. So, therefore, if the saints are on earth when the Antichrist is coming, surely the Lord would want to identify the Antichrist to his people. So let's see how you get on with the identification of the Antichrist. Let us look at Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Well, seven heads and ten horns. We have to identify those seven heads, which I will identify a little later. But also the ten horns of which Daniel spoke. And then he continues, and in verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Well, we have to identify things in Scripture with Scripture. So, he's like a leopard. So what is his nationality? Greek, isn't he? You know, someone wrote a book about Henry Kissinger being the Antichrist. Poor Henry. He's German, not Greek. Oh, and another one wrote a book identifying Benito Mussolini as the Antichrist. And when he was hung, people asked the author, well, how do you feel? He said, I'm so sorry, I hadn't sold all my books before he died. But we're going to see what the Word of God says. He is a leopard. Now then, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. What nationality is a bear? Persia. Well, it's a Greek. You know, you walk on your feet, don't you? And here, the feet are identified as Persia. And we are very clear from Daniel 8 that Greece trampled on Persia. And we know that from history. And then the mouth of a lion. A lion speaks of what? Babylon. So here we have a Greek, who trampled on Persia and spoke from Babylon. Now, the Word of God tells us quite a lot about this person. And let us be very clear indeed. In verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man. So we're dealing with a man whose identity is given to us as a Greek who ruled over Persia, who spoke from Babylon. And then something else, you see, in verse 4, it says in the last part, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. So this Greek must have been an undefeated general. And when he comes again, he will indeed make war with the saints and overcome them. And then something else that's very interesting indeed. And that is that he was a great orator, a great orator. And we look for a Greek who was a great orator. Now then, you know, time is not on our side, so I'm just going to come to Revelation chapter 17. And in Revelation chapter 17, we are given some very important truths concerning the Antichrist. And I want you to look very carefully with me at verse 10. And there are seven kings. Remember, seven heads. They represent kings over whom the Antichrist had power. There are seven kings. Five are fallen. And now all these kings must relate to Israel. So let us consider the nations that afflicted Israel. The first one was Egypt in the time of Rehoboam, and the Pharaoh was Shishak. Then Assyria, the time of Hezekiah, Sennacherib. And then the others, Babylon, Persia, Greece. Now, let's count them. Egypt 1, Assyria 2, Babylon 3, Persia 4, Greece 5. Five are fallen at the time of the Apostle John. And then we find also one is, the sixth one is. What nation was dominant at the time of the Apostle John? Rome. So there we are. Now then, we're told this. And you see, it says, there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue for a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is one of the seven and goeth into perdition. Now, coming to the ten horns which thou sawest, are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power for 1 hour with the beast. And essentially, these ten kings form one kingdom, And essentially, they are the seventh. Now then, let's go through this. All right, we have Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. And then out from Rome, in the last days, the old Roman Empire, must come the ten kings, which will form the seventh. But we've already seen in Daniel that from those ten kings is going to come another one. And he is the beast, number eight. But we're told specifically that this beast is one of the seven. And so it becomes very clear indeed. He is one that has already reigned, and he is one of those previous kingdoms. And we know he's a leopard, so he is from Greece. Now then, I want to look with you at chapter 17 and verse 8. And the beast, this is the Antichrist that thou sawest, was. And so the Apostle John is told, look, the Antichrist was. In other words, he lived. And then he goes on and says, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So where is the Antichrist today? In the bottomless pit. And he is awaiting his time to be released, in God's time to come up. Well, when is he coming up? What is the factor that will tell us when he is due to come up? Those ten kings must first come before the Antichrist will come up from the pit. And so the Lord makes it very clear for us that, you know, nobody is going to bow down and be amazed and follow someone who is born now and lives. No. The Antichrist is going to seek to claim to be Christ. And as Christ was resurrected, so will be the Antichrist. And the whole world will be amazed. The whole world will be amazed. You see, and if possible, the very elect could be deceived. But the elect cannot be deceived because they will be taught correctly the word of God. And it will be very clear whom the Antichrist is. And the Antichrist, incidentally, you know, can't be a decrepit old 80-year-old, you see. He has to be like Christ. And he has to be about 32, 33 years of age. And you can research history and you should know him by now. All right. Now then, you know, I just want to come and see why the Antichrist is necessary. And if you could turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, please. And in 2 Thessalonians, you know, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear why the Antichrist will come. And we're told in verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the brightness of his coming. Even him, verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. In other words, they will believe that this man is in the pit now and ascends from the bottomless pit at God's given time. They will believe. Look, here is the reason. Verse 12. That they all might be condemned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And the Antichrist will unite all the wicked. They will take his number, and then they will be tormented eternally. And so, you know, the second coming is not difficult. The Antichrist is clearly revealed. And the point that I want to end with is this. You know, the chronological order of events. Darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. And you know, last night had such a burden for the girls. You know, tunes into the BBC, obviously the best broadcasting company in the world. And, you know, to my horror, they said that the fad in England is for 14-year-olds to get pregnant. Now then, truth and knowledge will make you strong. If you understand this, that delusion takes away those who are unrighteous. And the all-important thing is this, that we live a righteous life. Because the book of Proverbs says, with the holy there is understanding. And as you've seen these few scriptures tonight, it is so very clear. You see, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. You know, revival shall come, and then shall the end come. And the end comes with the appearance of the Antichrist, who will deceive everybody who loves not the truth. He will make a covenant with the Jews. The Jews will receive him, because when he was on earth, he spared Jerusalem. In fact, when he came to Jerusalem, you know, the high priest was very troubled. Josephus tells us all this. The high priest was very troubled. And God spoke to the high priest. He said, put on your regalia. And the priest with you, put on your ceremonial robes and go out to meet this Greek. And with trembling, the high priest, as Alexander was coming, went out to meet him. What did Alexander do? He knelt down before the high priest. The general said, what are you doing? Everybody bows before you. And you are bowing before the high priest. He said, no. He said, I am bowing before the God of this high priest. Because when I was in Macedonia, this man appeared unto me in a dream and told me that I would conquer the world. I am bowing down to him. The high priest, you know, received Alexander with joy as the second Cyrus. And loaded him with all kinds of, honors. And they asked him for certain things in exchange, that the Jews would not have to serve in the army on a Sabbath. And Alexander gave them all this. And then he went on his way, the only country he spared. And so when he comes again, you know, the Jews will embrace him. They'll make a covenant with him. But you see, in the middle of it, he will break it with the abomination that maketh desolation, the image standing in the holy place. Jesus then said, continuing the chronological flow, he then said this. He said, then shall be great tribulation. And then after the tribulation, the sun will not give its light, the moon and the stars will fall. And then after that will come the sign of the coming of the Lord. Now then, my concern is this. Yes, knowledge does indeed give strength. But, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, just before he ascended, he said, tarry in Jerusalem, that you might receive power from on high. And God has not only given us knowledge and understanding of his word, that we can understand the second coming, but he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit.